Let's turn to the scriptures and we'll bring God's word this morning anyway. In Mark chapter 12, please. I'll keep my voice up as usual then. Maybe a bit louder if I can, if it gets a bit noisier. There was a bit of a contingent this week. I went to Egypt for a few days. Did they get back, Ruth? Are they all snoozing in their beds this morning, traveling last night? Yeah. The Lord brought Israel out of Egypt and they all went back into it. But they're home again anyway. God willing, see them this evening, all being well. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Let's just read from verse 41, please. Defending myself now. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would now take our hearts and our minds and help us to concentrate on your word this morning. Bless and encourage your people. Challenge us even. Speak to us as you deem it fit to do. But glorify your Son in our lives and in this service this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the widow woman's two mites. Money, or is it motive? What is the motive for the giving? This narrative is commonly known as that. The poor widow woman's mites, where she comes and casts in two mites into the offering at the temple. Many people have taken this story and have fixated on the subject of people giving more money into the offering plate, so to speak. And while there's a truth maybe in that, that is not the main sense of the truth of it. And it is not the main point of interest for us this morning. It's not the amount, it's the motive. The motive. This reading is not about money, but motive, and it's not about mites. It's about men's hearts, women's hearts. And if we were, after reading our subject this morning and this portion of scripture, if we were to look at this chapter, verse 13, please, if you will, we'll get the idea of why the Lord Jesus looked at this woman the way he did and why he mentioned her. Luke chapter 12, please. I would advise you to read the whole chapter when you have time, but we'll go from verse 13 for time's sake. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. So these are the Jewish leaders of the day, wanting to catch Jesus in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And when they come unto him the Sadducees, these are the Jewish lawyers of the law then, the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed, and the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall arise, whose wife shall she be of them? For of the seven had her the wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. So it's this background that the master looks at the woman with the two mites in the treasury. He sees the Pharisees, he speaks to the Herodians, and he speaks to the Sadducees. And these all are all lawyers and religious leaders of the Jews of the day. And all of these men are coming to the temple, looking the part. They're dressed in their robes. They come with all their garb on. And Jesus is accosted by them. And the Pharisees and the Herodians coming to him tempt him by saying, should we pay tribute or tax to Caesar or not? And hence taking the coin, he says, whose image and superscription is this? They say, it's Caesar's. Then give it to Caesar, because his image is on it. But whatever is God's, and whatever image God is in, then that has to yield to God. Now here's the thing, brothers and sisters, we must start with this morning. Whether it be religious leadership, whether it be denominational leadership, whether it be governmental leadership, or any other leadership which has its stamp upon it, then that's theirs. But whatever has the image of God on it, then that's God's. And you and I, not only as human beings, but being found in Christ this morning, we have the image and the superscription of Christ on us. And hence, when wicked laws are made, when ungodly laws are made, when unjust laws are made, just like the recent past, we are to obey God rather than man. We are to obey God. We are made in God's image. You're made in God's image. And there are those who are in the higher echelons of society who would want to take God's image and destroy it in you. Rob you of it, take you away from it, and destroy God's image in you. The world would love to destroy God's image in you. And believe it or not, freedom in the Holy Spirit, there are denominations that would love to destroy God's image in you. If you're looking for true freedom, freedom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he whom the Son sets free is, what's the word?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. Free indeed. Now these people come and they have stamped, as it were, their image of who they believe or think God is in their religious stance. They have stamped it into the people of Judea. And the Jewish people of our Lord Jesus' day, there they are under this cosh. There they're again under bondage. And when Jesus comes, does he not tell the very same men that he's speaking to in our chapter? He says unto them, he says, you have all of these traditions and you have all of these laws that you put upon the people. And you can't carry them out nor keep them yourself. In fact, we think of the Ten Commandments, which are for us today. Yes, absolutely. But we also think of in the day of the Jews, here in our Lord's day, they had 613 man-made commandments and ordinances. And one of them was to pay all you could or all you should. No, to pay all you have to the temple. To the temple. So brothers and sisters, here's what we're going to speak on this morning, God willing. We're going to speak on the widow woman's two mates, the money and the motive. The money and the motive. Now we know that in charismatic circles there you have the prosperity gospel. Now let me get something clear. God prospers his people. He's prospered me from I got saved. He's prospered me where I am not in want. He's prospered me where he's met all my needs and some. But he hasn't met all my greeds and more. I am not rich by any means. I'm not in this for the money by any means. I drive a 12-year-old car. I live in a rented home. So I want to put that there because there's people out there who think that all the offering you give, I put it in my pocket and go home with it. We, according to the scriptures, do not take money from you for praying for people who have died. Because you can't. It's not in the scripture. Abraham, it says here, our father is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is not the God of the dead in verse 27, but the God of the living. So we pray for one another while we live, not when we die. That's the Bible. And we don't charge you money for it. Offering comes from your heart. When you give, as we just pass around to lift an offering, comes from your own heart. How you, in your heart, give is between you and God. And so we'll look at some of that, but in prosperity circles it is, sow and you'll reap in abundance. And I believe in sowing and reaping. If you sow sin, you'll reap it. If you sow the wind, you'll reap a whirlwind. And God does prosper us. There are people whom God has prospered in business, people whom God has prospered, and they touch whatever they touch. It's like the Midas touch, so to speak. And that's good when they learn that what they have, whether it is the widow in the house with little, and who remembers the scullery kitchens? I'm in the old club. I remember them well. I'm in the old club now. And the oil cloth. And my daughter's down there going, what? It doesn't matter where it's that one or it's the multimillionaire. It's the heart, the motive, what or why, to whom we give. And what they give, it's some people give a little out of a big abundance. And that's between them and God. Others give what they have, like the widow woman, because her heart was saying, Lord, here, you'll bless me. I'm giving all into your hands. I remember some years ago, a lot of years ago, I should say, and Alice and I had one tin of Heinz baked beans left in the cupboard between us two. She's laughing now, but at the time we were like, with no money for our bills left, everything was gone. And we sort of thought, and we sat in Whitewell, and we had brass coloured coins. I can't remember what it was. It was a few brass coins. And I went like this, and I sat with Alison and I went, that's it. I'm not talking about that's in my pocket, that's it. And one tin of baked beans. And our Sunday dinner was a tin of baked beans. I think my mammy could have afforded a plate each. We could have cut it in half. Don't think we had it off the same plate. But I remember, and we thought, all that we had, just shrapnel, as we would say, and I dropped it in the plate, we thought, Lord, it's all we have. And when we got home, my brother and his wife had landed in, unsaved, like, well, landed in, and they were laden down with bags with food in it, and we never told anyone our plight, never ever spoke of it, because the Lord knew about it. And they were covered, big bags of stuff, and they came in, they went, ugh, the two of them, and they set them down, and there it was, shopping in it, and all sorts of food in it, and filled all of our cupboards and our fridge, filled the whole lot. Steaks, and boy, we thought, have we died and went to heaven? And it's that where God blesses, and things like that, God prospers. Our heart was to give unto him. We had much, so it's not the amount, it's the motive. It's the motive. I'm not here to bring this in any way, sense, shape, or form. I don't preach money. I don't ask, except for when we lift our offerings. I don't plead for money. But this is about motive of heart. Jesus is sitting with this woman, walks in, a poor widow woman with two mites. She puts it in. There's no social services. She's a widow. She's no husband to fend for her. That's what his job, his position would have been in the day. No one would come her way looking to help her. This woman was on her own. And the Lord Jesus said she gave all she had. Ah, sure, she's just a wee woman, three in, two mates. Isn't that what some would say? I'm looking for the big fish. The big fish out of their abundance came and dropped in a wee drop. Their wee drop was probably far more than her lot. Notice that. Their drop, their little drop of their abundance was probably far more than her lot, her all. But Jesus had respect unto her because of the motive of her heart. So this reading is about men and women's hearts. This chapter of chapter 12 The Jewish leaders have tried to trick our Lord Jesus by asking him about the money and giving. And this again was a heart issue, trying to trick him. It was about motives and that which would motivate a person in a certain way. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, says the Lord. Whatever's in our heart to do is what we'll do. You know, some people would say, oh, I wasn't able to, I'll just use it for an example. I wasn't able to come to the meeting tonight. Why? Oh, well, you know, it was a bit windy. Yeah. The next time will be a bit rainy. And after that, it could be a bit snowy. And you better watch when it's a bit sunny. It might blind your eyes when you're driving. And yet every day they go to work. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday even. And it doesn't stop them because there's money. It's the heart of it. That's what's at the heart of it. Please get me right here. I'm not speaking about your money. I'm talking about our hearts. You see, it's what our hearts chase after is what we will in return make sure we accomplish and do it. The old saying is, if you really wanted to, you could. And really, many, if they really wanted to, they could have. So it's the motive of the heart. It's what is in us that drives us. We could arrange things to make sure we're in a certain place. We could arrange things during the week to make sure that we can get out to different events. But we don't arrange things to make sure we're at the prayer meeting. Because it's the motive, it's a heart motive. It's not about money, it's about heart. And this woman comes with all that she has, she casts it in, and it was her heart, and Jesus saw the heart. And what she gave from the heart was, in the eyes of our Lord Jesus, vastly different, greater, and more than the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the scribes, what they give out of their abundance. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now this widow woman's heart was on display and in full view of the Lord. And while the religiously garbed Pharisees, the politically driven Herodians were interested in self-gain and being seen to be the authority among the people, the master sees a poor widow woman. It's not beautiful. Many will look and see the whole pomp and ceremony. Many will see the robes that makes them look outwardly as if they're God's people. Outwardly as if they're right. Outwardly as if they should be revered to almost worshipped. As they walk along with their Dagon Mater fish hats on. And they walk through with their lovely big crooks and goldy painted. Or maybe gold itself, gold leaf. When they walk bejeweled and jewels on their fingers and on their belts. And when they're walking along with big crosses swinging and hanging around their necks. And their embroidery on their garments of gold and silver. And while they do this, everybody's fixated on it and saying, wow, look at this. This pomp is a wonderful ceremony. And maybe sitting somewhere, a little woman with a heart for God, poor and even wretched looking, with the heart for God, sits in tune with her Heavenly Father. She's sitting in tune with God. She's sitting in the right place with God. And look, I like the dress for the Lord's Day. Like this. I like the dress like this for the Lord's Day. But you can have on your suit and your shirt and your tie. You can be well shaven and douched and splashed all over with the most expensive aftershave. You can have on your most fanciful socks and your polished shoes. And there's no tune with God. A wee woman could come in, a wee man even, sitting in the dirtiest of clothes, maybe a bit smelly even. And a few people maybe move away from the immediate circle of him, just so as the whiff doesn't catch them. And yet his heart is in tune with God. He's right with God. Now, who do you think catches the eye of the Savior? This widow woman caught the eye of the Savior. He read her heart and he saw her giving everything that she had. Everything. The master, being asked questions, gives an absolute answer of absolute truth. And this is the true and sincere motivation of the heart. Notice what it says in Mark chapter 12. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, speaking to their hearts, notice, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? I take note of this. What is the first commandment of all? Jesus again hits it right in the heart. The first commandment is not, thou shalt make sure you give all your wages into the church. That's not the first commandment or any commandment. Yes, we need to pay for things. Yes, we need offering. Yes, we do. But this was a case of where these people would rob the populace. And this man comes up and he says, I'll get him now. What is the first, but what is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus strikes them right in the heart. You know why? Because they were all outward show. They had no heart at all for the Lord. Look what it says in verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt, notice, love the Lord thy God with, what is it? All thy heart. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. Even our very thinking. With all thy strength. This is the total man. To total commitment, with a total heart, the total woman. And this is the first and great commandment. And guess what? We all break it. Even those of us who profess to be born of the Spirit and by faith washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all break it. And Pastor Glenn read this morning that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the breaking of the law brings the curse upon us. In other words, it shows us up. I should say that differently. The breaking of the law doesn't bring the curse. It shows the curse. Because we're cursed in Adam. And it shows us how much we need to be saved. How much we need to trust only and solely, uniquely, fully, totally and completely and utterly upon Christ and on Him alone. Because the law was our schoolmaster. It means that the law was our pedagogos, which means that where we get pediatrics from. From a child, they would rear them up. This is how you walk. This is how you talk. Here's the commandments of God. And he says, the law is our schoolmaster. You're going wrong here. You're going wrong there. This is the way you should walk. This is how you act. This is how you don't react. And this was the pedagogos in a family done this. And Paul says that the law is the pedagogos, the schoolmaster. And it shows Ken, as it showed Glenn, as it should show us that without Christ we're sinners. Without Christ we're lost. Without Christ we're under the curse of the law. The law says you're cursed, Ken. It curses me in the sense it shows the law curses me in showing up my failure in Christ, outside of Christ. But the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And hence, since I am under the law and cursed by the law, and it shows me my curse, it points me to the Savior. It points me to Jesus. It's a heart matter, not a religious matter. In the sense, it's not about doing. Religion says, do this. Religion says, do that. Religion says, go on pilgrimage. Look at the Muslims, the pilgrimage that go on. In John chapter 4, when Jesus meets a woman at the well, they used to go on pilgrimage outside of their villages to little groves where they knelt down and worshipped at these idols. And when Jesus meets a woman at the well, she says, should we go up to the mountains to worship? Or are we meant to go down to the Jews do, to the temple in Jerusalem? Jews go there, we go there. Where are we to go? Jesus says in John chapter 4, the time has come and now is when the true worshippers, now notice the true worshippers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He says you won't go up the grove. You won't go to Jerusalem to the temple. You'll worship in the Spirit. So here we're finding Jesus comes with this answer to these Pharisees. You love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that actually takes up the first 6 commandments, believe it or not. For if we love God, we will carry out the other 6 or the other 5 after that. If we love him, the next 4 of the 10 commandments are toward man to man. And if we love the Lord, it covers the 6 between you and God. And if we love the Lord, it covers the 4 between man and man. We'll have a conscience how we deal with each other, how we speak to each other, how we work with each other, how we treat each other. Not only in church, outside of church, in society. And if we love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and all our strength, then we will not make any graven images. We will not bow down to them. That's what the scripture says. But we will not steal of each other. We will not run around and fornicate with each other's spouses. I'm not after your wife. And you shouldn't be after my wife. And it covers when we love the Lord. Because we say, I can't do this. I can't treat a brother like that. I can't speak to the brother like that. I can't act around the brother like that. I can't do it. And do you know why you can't? Because you love him. And if you love him, you won't do it. I'll not steal off you, brother. I won't take off you, sister. Leave your handbag there with your purse open and I'll not dip my hand in it. I was taking a mission not so long ago and there's a fellow, the pastor actually was standing talking to me and he went over to talk to somebody and his phone was there beside the door and I thought I'll watch it. And there's a guy in the meeting, he comes out to the guy and he goes,
And I walked over and I went, "How you doing?" And he went, "Ah, see, years ago I'd have had that away with me." I think, "You were going to take it away with me if I hadn't said to you, what are you doing, boy?" So this stops me from not only bowing before idols, this stops me from worshipping, as it were, any other deity or any other so-called saint. I don't need to go on pilgrimage. I don't need to go on walks here and walks there. I don't need to climb Kropotkin, and I don't need to go over the sea to somewhere else. I don't even need to do missionary work. I don't need to work hard here or work hard over there. I don't need to give alms or deeds or money. I don't need any of it. All I need is Jesus. He paid our debt. It's a heart matter. And if we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, all the other commandments, every one of them, you'll look after to do them yourself. Now you'll fail. But the Holy Spirit within us will say, "No, no, you're wrong. You see, the Lord takes this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and he takes it and he says, here is your heart. Can you keep this? And it's from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Can you hold on to this? Can you live your life like this? And these men thought they did, as well as 613 commandments. They thought they actually did. Religion won't save you. I can't save you. This church won't save you. Only Jesus saves. Christ alone. And he says, here's the heart matter. Brother, sister, so what is the Holy Spirit? Friend, what has the Holy Spirit laid on your heart this morning? As we're being through this word, what has he laid in your heart? About giving all? Oh, we're going on to the money. No, just give all. Your time, your heart, your effort, your energy, give it. Give it to him. He's no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor. This woman came with little, but it was her all, and it was the motive of her heart. So the master comes with this and says, I'm going to speak to your heart. I'm going to deal with your heart. I'm going to talk to your heart. And these men are reeling with this. And he walks over to the treasure and he says, now there's a heart. This poor with a woman's two mates, there's a heart. You know, I've a whole lot of material here, but I'm not going to go any further with it, to be honest. I'll maybe do it after the mission. If more there, maybe come back to it. But the Lord says, he answered him saying, verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Notice the word he says, hear. H-E-A-R. See, faith cometh by hearing. It's not only what you hear with your ear. It's not about hearing here. It's not about what you hear, it's about how you hear. How you hear. And look, we can all be guilty of this, but we could sit there and the Lord speak to our hearts, and we have heard it, and it's not only what we have heard, it's how we have heard it. God has ministered it. Lord, I've got it. I heard. And you drive down the road and you maybe talk to your spouse about it or whoever you're with. And you get home around the dinner table and you eat your dinner about it. And you stick your feet up on the sofa and you have a snooze. And when you wake up from your snooze, you know, somebody, a couple of people have told me, they go home and get into their pajamas and go to bed. I'm not going to ask you who else does that, you know. Imagine getting into your pajamas on a Sunday and going to bed in the afternoon. If I'd done that, I wouldn't sleep the rest of the night. But when you get up again, it's like you've got up into a new day, isn't it? You don't know what time it is and where you are. But the word, you've forgot it. The word, you've set it aside, you've forgot it. And that convicting of the heart when God speaks, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Hear, Christian ear. Not only what you hear, but how you hear it. If you hear it, love the Lord thy God. In other words, love the Lord Jesus. Worship him. Finish with this, verse 31. And the second is like unto it. The second commandment is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love each other. If you love the Lord Jesus, you'll love others in return. That's the commandments. Moses comes with the two tables of that law, the moral commandments, the 10 of them. There would be 6 in one and more likely 4 in the other, because 6 are between man and God, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, not making images, not bowing down onto them, and so on, right down. And then the next 4 after that, between. So the first 6 are vertical, between God and man. The next ones are between man and man, woman and woman. And these two, verse 30 is the first 6. And verse 31 represents the last 4. Just love each other. Hey, listen. The Lord says if you love yourself, and there's a lot of people come down hardening themselves and they don't love themselves. But most of us love ourselves enough to want to do well. Some of us can love ourselves enough to make sure we're looked after. Some of us can love ourselves enough to make sure we're not doing ourselves any damage. And I know there are people who would be also self-harm and things like that and say, "I don't love myself." I get that. That's okay. But I don't mean that's okay, but I get that. That's not what Jesus means here. He's saying if you would want the best for yourself, then want the best for others, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the 10 commandments embodied. Now he goes and he sits at the treasury. And he's watching them. And there's all the bigwigs coming. And they're all coming and they're putting in their wee bit out of their big amount. Where's their heart? Where's their heart to give to God? And this wee woman comes along. No husband. Lonely. Dirty, maybe ragged rags of her clothes. And she walks along. She's 2 mites left. And she puts it in. "Lord, I'm giving this unto you." And as she drops it in, "Lord, I'm giving it unto you." Jesus sits and watches her. And he says, "See this wee woman here. She's given more than all of these others who have given out of their abundance. This wee woman has done more than they have." Isn't it amazing when we think of the grace of God? Isn't it wonderful? Let the children come up, please, Denise. Isn't it wonderful and amazing that when we think that Jesus
seen someone like me, like you, as it were, in our rags of sin. And I said, see her. Maybe a life where there wasn't much going for her. I'm going to give her a heart after God. I'm going to save her. And maybe there's a wee woman or a man in church and you think, ah, well, that's only wee such and such that. Listen, brothers and sisters, you don't know what connection they have in the Holy Ghost. Don't say that's not me. I was at a conference a few years back, and I mentioned this man's name. It was the first I'd heard about him. I'd heard a couple of sermons. He's an Englishman, northern accent, northern English. I'm not sure where he's from. I can't really remember. But he's a pastor, and he was older. When I first seen him, he was old. I'm just going to be honest. He obviously didn't have much. He had a jacket on, like this sort of jacket, like sports jacket. And he was a small man, but the sports jacket was down to about here. The sleeves were over the tips of his fingers. And he had to keep doing this. He kept doing it like this when he was speaking. And he wasn't too well groomed, looked after. He's a small man. And a little bit of a whiff from him, just being honest. And we were in this conference, and this wee man gets up to speak, and he's like this, about this height. With his broad northern English accent. And he started talking about the Lord. Boom. The meeting, it was like the Lord just dropped the anointing on the meeting. Boom. And he just started talking about the Lord and the work that God's doing in the north of England. Started talking about those type and what God has done among the homeless. He goes down every night on his own along the Docklands. On his own. He must be 80 now. And he walks up and down the road, and there's maybe even more. And he walks up and down the road with bags of whatever he can carry of food. And he preaches to all the homeless who hang about down there. If you've seen that wee man, say, ah, that's just wee such and such. I'm not going to mention his name. But if you sit for 5 minutes with this man, you'll realize you're in the presence of someone who knows the Lord. I mean, it's strong. Thank God he doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. God bless us this morning.